Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, sponsored by the audiobook edition of Will Eisner, A Spirited Life, now available on iTunes and Audible.com, and recorded live on blogtalkradio.com from the home of Blondie cartoonist Dean Young, right here in Tampa Bay. A 6-inch action figure of Will Eisner's The Spirit has a permanent place of honor on my desk. And mixed in among some family photographs on a table to my right is an oddly transparent 12-inch Spider-Man action figure. And next to him, I think the Spider-Man is 9 inches. But anyway, or maybe this one's 18 inches. I don't know. I've got an 18-inch talking Silver Surfer. Although the batteries are apparently dead, I'd love to play you some of his lines. In the hallway, where most of our books are shelved, is a 9-inch-high growling Incredible Hulk and a 12-inch set of the Green Hornet and Kato. And out in the garage, still in boxes, are at least a dozen female action figures that I bought for my daughter when she was a baby, thinking she might one day like to play with them. And she didn't. The point of all this? I like action figures, which is why I invited Jeff Beckett, acting CEO of Shocker Toys out of Ridgewood, New Jersey, to be my guest today. Shocker manufactures and sells action figures based on independent comic characters and some of its own designs, and I thought it would be fun to talk about his business, prospects for the holiday season, and beyond. Jeff, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I heard you mention Green Hornet.
Yeah.
Something we're looking into.
Really? Very cool.
Yeah, we do. We like to have a little spread in there.
I'm trying to remember. I think a few years ago when KB Toys was going out of business, we had gone in and I saw this box and it was marked down to like $9.99 for these two. They were like, I don't know, they're like 12 inches and they're solid. I mean, they're not really action figures in the sense that they don't have movable parts. They're more like statues, I guess. But they're really heavy and solid. And I thought, oh, my God, the pair of them for $9.99. I love the Green Hornet and Kato.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Jeff, I have to ask, are you playing with toys right now? I mean, I'm surrounded by them. I hope you are.
Of course. The office is always full of toys.
What are you looking at? What's in front of you?
Well, in front of me at my desk, I keep one of our special Wizard Maxes we did, which is like a translucent body of MTV's and Sam Keith's The Max, which was a show on MTV. I keep one of those. I have a Scud statue in the box, Scud the Disposable Assassin by Rob Schrab, who also writes for the Sarah Silverman Show. I have inside of the vending machine, I have the Scud in the box. And I keep also a couple Malos around, which are our new designer figure, and various other the action figures we keep around in our cases and stuff here.
Now, I won't tell anyone, but are there some top secret toys on your desk?
Oh, of course, always. We're always looking at different stuff. There's a few different concept arts and some new designs for our designer figures that we're coming out with, and a lot of new stuff planned for February, which is Toy Fair, so that's big in New York City, and we want to be prepared to have a lot of nice stuff ready for the year 2010.
Now, I assume whatever you're thinking of for February, you've already got licensed. Can you tell us what's coming up?
We have, for the Malos, we have Sushi Pack, which is the CBS cartoon. We also have Mad Balls, My Pet Monster, Monster in My Pocket. We're doing some robot versions as well, some designer robots. We're also doing an art series, designer art series. We're working with Johnny Quest, and also Inspector Gadget, and there's some anime titles, which I can't mention at this time, but we're going to be working with some of the top anime titles for this line as well.
Oh. It sounds like business is doing pretty well.
Yeah, it's doing good. The Malos, I say, are you know something that we're really working on hard. We want to have a bunch of different lines out with the Malos. It's basically, with Shocker Toys, we do a lot of branding. We like to have brands because they last longer and collectors can get more out of it instead of just doing like a one-shot of a series or something like that. You build a brand and then the collectors can just keep on collecting the brand.
Hmm. Now, you mentioned models. Do you mean models that people put together like they used to do with cars, or am I misunderstanding?
No. I don't know if I mentioned models. No models. Malos. Sorry, Malos are designer figures. Yeah, they're like little marshmallow people.
Oh, okay. I saw those on the site. I'm sorry. It's just my hearing. It's not you. It's me.
No, it's okay. They are interchangeable. I mean, they do come apart. We had an original product called the Shockini. Most action figures you get, you can't take them apart. Once you take them apart, they break. That's pretty much it. But for ours, even in our comic book line, we kind of incorporated the same thing. We started with a block figure called the Shockini, which I invented and started the company with that before it grew. And it was a little block figure that all came apart, and you can interchange the pieces. We kind of incorporated it in our new comic book line, which is 6-inch, and it's just on the scale of Marvel Legends and DC Universe. But you can take the hands off and interchange some of the parts between the characters, and the Malos are very similar too, where you can take the hands off and the feet and change them with another one. So if you have, you know, the Phantom, if you have a Phantom Malo, you could change his feet out for black or something, put him in a tuxedo.
Now, who's the market for all this stuff? Is it? I mean, I'm going to ask. I don't think the answer is this, but I mean, is it little kids or is it big kids? Is it adults? Who are you selling to?
For us, we're basically just selling to the stores and online because our age range is different. For the comic book heroes, I would peg that as 18 to 35 because it's it's more older properties. Although kids love them, it's not just something that a parent would recognize as much. But for the Malos, they seem to know what they are. We could have no writing on the – it says Malos on the box. We could take that off completely. The kids see it. They know right away that it's a marshmallow person. So there's no need to even tell them what it is. So yeah, they just – Mom, Dad, I want the marshmallow guy. You know, that's it. Great.
Nice. Nice for you. And you mentioned the Shockini. That was how the company got started, right?
Yes. We were doing trying to do a trading card game. I did construction. That was my background. But I've always been into comics, art, and I always collected toys big time. I started with try to do a trading card game with some robots. It was way back in the days, about, I'd say, 1998, I started the idea. But I didn't form the company until about 2000. And it was just, you couldn't really get in the market at that time. So I switched to my other love, which was toys, and just took the same idea that I had for the cards, took the robots and turned them into a little, sculpted a little body and everything and put it together, found a factory, and had it manufactured. And I just happened to get lucky, find the right factory and have it made and get it out and, go to Toy Fair and show it. And, we got a good response from it.
Is there a, does this company have an air of overnight success, or has it been a slow build?
It's been a slow build only because, we all have love of toys, but when you get on the other end of the market, it's kind of odd. You start to say, well, I didn't know about this, and I didn't know this is what goes on behind the doors, behind closed doors. There's so much that collectors don't know about. It's coming out now. Like in the past couple years, we've always made it a point to try to show our fans from progression, from the very beginning to the very end of the toy, which a lot of people frowned at the time. You didn't really do that, especially with Idea Theft and everything else, but we've always tried to be open about everything, and it just seems that everybody's like that nowadays now, so people are starting to air it out, and everybody knows, what's going on in the industry. But when we first started, we didn't have any clue. We just thought it was, all fun and games.
You mean it's not all fun and games in the toy industry? That's just sad.
We have our fun. We have our good times. I mean, I enjoy going to the shows. I enjoy meeting the fans. I enjoy a lot of that stuff. It's just that, you have a lot of other things too, like the dark side of people on the forums and when you show your face, it kind of leaves you open for attacks too. And, Mattel and Hasbro and all the other companies, they get them as well, but I just seem to get them a little more because I'm more like, we're like a three-man crew as far as Shocker Toys goes, with all the other people added in the mix. So,
are you designing in-house, or do you outsource that kind of work if there's just three of you?
Yeah, well, there's three partners in the company, but we do have others on board. So, of course, we have our web designers. We have our painters, which did stuff for Hot Toys and then came to work for us. We have our sculptor who does everything in 3D. So we don't really use a team of sculptors per se, like McFarlane used to, but I think he's doing 3D also now. But instead of having a team of sculptors, we just basically have one or two guys that do 3D, and they go right to a 3D printer and print it out so we can get it right to the factory.
I'm just looking at your site. I guess she's a little Asian woman. I don't mean little, but I mean she's a little bit Asian.
Red and white
suit? White and red? Yeah.
Yeah, that's Kabuki. That's a comic written by David Mack. Great comic, great artwork. I mean, amazing, yeah. And it's, of course, I think it's an imprint printed by Marvel. But yeah, he does great work. So that's part of our Indie Spotlight series, our third largest comic book line.
I see. I was going to say I've heard of Kabuki. I haven't read Kabuki, so I didn't recognize the character. Nice.
Yeah, it's a great book. Yeah, it's a great book. And what we do is with Indie Spotlight, you get a chance to, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't know who this character is. Let's say like Kachu from Strangers in Paradise. You know, it has a certain fan base, but someone might pick up the figure because they like the way it looks, and they might end up picking up the comic, and in turn, they might pick up the Kabuki comic or vice versa. So instead of just making, like I say, a line where it's like McFarlane used to do back in the days, he used to sprinkle some other stuff into his series. Very similar, except the fact that everybody does like a whole line of something if they're going to do it. So you'll get like a whole line of, you know, whatever characters you have out there in the book. We decided to just kind of sprinkle a bunch in. So you'd have like seven different characters, maybe a couple from the same as variants, but you're getting a variety so that, you know, you can touch a bunch of different fans, in terms of what they like. So.
I had been out of touch with a lot of this stuff for a while, and I remember a few years ago, I mentioned in the introduction, in St. Petersburg, Florida, and there's a couple of stores in the county here called Emerald City. Certainly the biggest comics and toy stores in the area. And I was astounded the first time I went in there to their main store to see this wall and then another wall of just – actually, I'm thinking there must have been three walls of action figures. Is it still – that was a few years ago. Is it still that competitive? I mean, are there still that many people producing that many figures?
Well, there is a lot of action figures out there, but as far as comic book stuff goes, McFarlane does a lot of sports stuff now. NECA does a lot of horror-themed toys and Twilight and stuff like that. Mezco does some designer art and some other, horror properties and stuff like that. They did The Spirit, which came out good. We basically are running a comic book line that's on the same scale as the DC Universe and the Marvel Legends. So, like, when you usually see those two or three walls, it's usually taped with Marvel Legends and DC Universe because it's all the the big Marvel and DC properties. So our line kind of fits right in there with all those, same scale, 6-inch. And then, of course, Max is 8-inch, so it's all accurate scale pretty much. And then it has all the, lesser-known or, characters that are independent that haven't had a chance to have a toy. It gives them that opportunity to fit in with the Marvel Legends and the DC Universe, line.
Yeah, it's cool to see, the Marvel and DC characters that you recognize, and then to see, like, the Shocker figures, which, a lot of people don't know them, and then you see them, hey, that's cool. Well, Shadowhawk, for example, or Scud. I mean, sometimes I can see what you're saying, that, you might see the character and just buy it because it's cool, and then you realize, oh, there's a comic book that goes with this? Yeah, and maybe pick up the comic.
Yeah, and even if it's out of print, they can always go to their shop and still get, an old copy of it.
Exactly. And have there been characters over the last couple of years that you've wanted to do a toy on and that the creator or the publisher has been resistant? If you had to list, for example, like your top three that you haven't been able to get?
I think our lineup that we had originally, we did pretty much get what we wanted. There was a little problem back in the days where there was another line that came out very similar to ours. We had been talking about ours online, which is why I said we learned now to keep everything kind of hush-hush. You know, we can't tell too much to the fans. But another company came out, a similar line, Legendary Comic Book Heroes, which was Marvel Toys, which was actually part of Marvel. So they took a lot of the properties we had. One of them happened to be Judge Dredd. So I really wanted to do that, but it probably will never happen again because it had its chance. It sold to Walmart, and, of course, you know, when you sell something at Walmart, you sell it till it doesn't sell, and then, you know, it kind of loses the interest, and then, you know, the licensors don't want to deal with it anymore. But there was a few that I got back, as, for instance, Top Cow. We're working, you know, we're trying to work with them. And Madman I got back, which was supposed to be my first series, but it happened to be in Legendary Comic Book Heroes when they put it out. So we're going to put it back in our series, in Series 3 or Series 4, and it's going to be the original classic Madman, which is by Mike Allred.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, I mean, that's stuff cool. That comes back around, you know.
Do you ever, I mean, you know, are there any obscure comics? Like, I was just thinking about Tony Isabella's new book, 1,000 Comic Books You Must Read. I was thinking about some of the characters, like the Milestone characters, I guess, are controlled by DC, but the old Atlas line from the 70s or things like that.
Yeah, and you have Valiant and stuff like that. I think Valiant got bought by someone who, that's someone who's resistant to licensing. I think they're just trying to push the books, so they don't want to push the mark and try to get toys out there, per se, which is kind of weird. You'd think they'd want to get it out, but, you know, each their own. Some people don't want to do it. You know, they want to sit back and they take a different approach. But there's a lot of good characters there. Some of them went back to Gold Key, which we're in the process of securing again. We already had them, but we have to, you know, fit them in a series again a little later on. Would be Solar, Man of the Atom, and then you also had Magnus, Robot Fighter. So those two are some from Valiant, but they're no longer with Valiant. They're with Gold Key, so it's something that can be picked up. You know, it's a, you know, and then you have all your pulp characters too, like the Phantom, Dick Tracy, and stuff like that. That don't lie with comic book companies per se, but with publishing companies or, you know, licensing agents only. Even Zorro, perhaps, which is you know, it's supposed to be getting a new movie, I believe, and stuff like that. So, you know, we're approaching all that stuff.
Now, I have to admit, I never got Dick Tracy. I mean, I grew up in New Jersey. I mean, and so, you know, we'd see it in the New York Daily News. It was always the front page on the Sunday comics. But I never really got it. And I know that you're producing a Dick Tracy now. And I was just reading that Warren Beatty is still fighting for the rights to Dick Tracy. Tell me, why Dick Tracy? I mean, of all the characters out there, why would you produce a Dick Tracy figure?
Well, it's not the Warren Beatty version. Probably not. it's the pulp. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed the movie. It was dark. It was like a Sin City at its time when it was made. But, you know, I thought it was good. You know, but we just thought that it needed to have an action figure, you know, something again. I mean, I think there was a line that came out a while back from, I think it was Playmates that put out the line for the movie. But we wanted to have something that was hyper-articulated, you know, like, not just a statue. There's people that have done statues and collectibles, but a hyper-articulated action figure, a really articulated Dick Tracy that you could have with his gun up in the air, any pose you wanted. So that's why we did it. I mean, let's take these pulp characters and give them that hyper-articulated feel.
Are there characters that you guys have manufactured that you've been frustrated that they did not sell, that you just thought, oh, my God, I can't believe we got the rights to this, and then you put it out there and it just doesn't move?
I don't think so. We kind of do different stuff. Like I say, with our Series 1, basically our Series 1 features Scud the Disposable Assassin, Pichu from Strangers in Paradise, Kabuki from David Mack, Shadowhawk from Jim Valentino, and then the Max from MTV and Sam Keith. Basically, you get a mail away with those. So what happens is, if you collect the whole series, all seven figures, including the variants, you get to mail away for the Mr. Gawn figure from the Max series. So if we had it on its own, per se, I'd say that some of the less-known characters might not sell, but since it's a series and you can buy the whole thing, you know, we have more terms of selling, you know, a mixed case or the whole series to customers because they can get the free mail away, you know, kind of like the old Star Wars stuff. You get the free mail away, you get the bio cards, and you get to collect a good solid line of toys.
And what's a, I don't know if you can tell me this, but what's a good number, like, you know, for one character to sell?
A run itself, I think we started the line with maybe 2,000 pieces for a run of each, and then I think we did another about 2,500 of each, and, you know, we're bumping that up again for a third run of Indie Spotlight Series 1 because it it's doing really well. So, I mean, you could get up there. You could get... You know, you get anywhere up to 20,000 piece run of each, or even more.
I remember. I was just thinking when you mentioned that I had interviewed Dennis Kitchen, one of the old Underground Comics guys, and he had said that, like in the 70s, he would print like 10,000 copies of a comic and put it out there, and it would just keep selling and selling. And when they finally ran out, then they'd go and print more, as opposed to like Marvel and DC, which would put out, you know, Spider-Man number 59. In March, and when that was gone, that was it. They didn't print any more of it. So it sounds a little like you follow more like the original, kind of like the kitchen sink thing, where we make a set number of them, and if they all sell, then we'll make some more.
Yeah, because the fans are going to want more. I mean, we don't want to cap it off and say, you know, it is a collectible line, but it's collectible in the terms of the collector wants to be able to get the toy they want, not as in we're going to make you hunt around and never be able to find it, and you got to pay $9 billion on eBay. You know what I mean? We make it, you know, readily available. I mean, the variants are less produced, so the variants might be harder to find. You know, but other than that, it's not really something that we're about. We're more about collecting and the fun of collecting, being able to go out there and get the toy that you want. You know, I mean, it's still fun to chase it down. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not like it's, you know, oversold out at Walmart. We don't sell this line at Walmart. We sell it at the smaller comic book shops and, you know, maybe Toys R Us and Hastings Entertainment and stuff like that, but not to a point where it's flooding the market and not to a point where it's too much. It's just we make what we can. If it sells, you know, like you say, when it sells out, you make another run and so on and so on. You know, of course, licenses expire after a while and you can't make any more, but, you know, you always have a sell-off period and you try to fit as many as you can out that the fans want. If, of course, if somebody would want more, you could always just make another character, which is where I say instead of just doing a whole run of one comic of like 10 characters from one comic, it's different comics, so we can always bring another character back from a comic if an artist likes that.
Okay. Is there much demand for characters based on graphic novels?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a few of them out there. Mouse Guard, you know, there's a bunch of good graphic novels out there. I actually have approached a few, and I think I have them in, you know, looking into some stuff that we wanted to do, but comics, graphic novels, you know, it's pretty much it's just a one big comic book, you know, and a lot of pages and very good art and it's a good quality print. But if the characters are great, hey, why not? You know, I don't see it. If you're only selling it once, you still have fans that treasure that book and they're gonna go out and buy it. And of course, they're gonna go out and buy the book again or find it if it's out of print. You know, they'll try to find it on eBay, like I say, and then and get the characters for it. So there's no limit to, especially for our stuff, for Indie Spotlight. It's either comics, you know, it's graphic novels. It could be books. Sega, God, Disposable Assassin was a Sega game. So, I mean, everything has, and a comic. Mm-hmm. So everything has its different feel out there, and we'd like to try to include as much as we can in the Indie Spotlight line, but we still want to keep it as, you know, comic book style. We don't want to really go too far out there. That's for another line altogether.
Would you ever do a comic strip line?
For what? For the new strips?
Yeah, like I don't know, I you know, Pearls Before Swine or Leo or you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean we've thought about doing different stuff as long as it involves some kind of paper media form, you know, that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't see why not. There's even, of course, there's web comics too, which we've looked at. I think that might be a separate line altogether because a lot of the characters are. They're not, like, superhero-ish or not human-like, but, you know, there's always a spot for everything, I think, you know, especially with our Malo line. It's a standard body, so you can pretty much fit anything you want onto there from, you know, from 2D to 3D, and once you paint it on, it looks really good. So, you know, there's always room for something in one of our two lines that we have. You know, we also do Death Clock, the heavy metal cartoon on Adult Swim, but that's, you know, a vinyl line, so it's not really a series like Indie Spotlight or like our Malo.
Jeff, have there ever been any characters that were just too tough to manufacture that, you know, you got the rights to it and you guys started designing and it was just like, oh, God, this is ridiculous. It'll never work.
Of course, when we first started, there was some stuff we really wanted to do. You know, huge Guar fans, we wanted to do Guar. That just, it took a turn for the worse because, you know, we just were not getting a feel from the stores. I think at the time there had been a merchandise problem with somebody else doing merchandise with them, and the big stores that we wanted to put it in, it just didn't happen. And that caused us a problem because, you know, we had the license, we wanted to put it out. You know, we had fans who wanted it, including ourselves, who are fans, but it didn't see the light of day. But we did make a statue, at least, of Beefcake, and it was real intricate. I mean, once it was painted up, it was nice. It probably would have cost us close to like $34 to sell, but it looked amazing, you know?
Well, before we kind of wrap it up, I'm just curious. We're heading into the holiday season, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa. Is this time of year more important for you than other times, or is it more? Are you more focused on things like Toy Fair in February and Comic Con in July, or you know, they all have some equal weight?
Yeah, I'd say. Well, you know, we're always concentrating on Toy Fair because that's coming up. I think like right after Toy Fair, we start to concentrate on San Diego, on the Comic-Con too, but you know, we concentrate on the retail end too to get stuff out to the store so the customers can pick them up, and then you know, for the holiday season, and also we sell direct on our website, so we're always making sure we have everything available. So right now we have the whole Series 1 Indie Spotlight available on the website. We also have Malos, the blank Malos available, and we have Death Clock. We have Dr. Roxo, we have some Phantoms as Malos. And what else do we have? We have like a little Comic-Con guy from last year. It's like a little art series designer, Malo. So, yeah, you know, we're pretty much making sure we're out there for the fans and getting everything ready for Toy Fair, which is Series 3, which is our Zorro series. So we have Zorro, we have Fist of Justice, we have Nera X, Grendel Prime. So there's a lot of good characters coming in that line. And then Series 2 is the Tick series, of course, which is the Tick. We have King Zombie from Dead World, Jack Staff, Ignacia from Wild Guard, and we also have Dick Tracy. And that's in our Series 2.
Cool. Well, it's certainly a very interesting variety of characters in the lines.
Yeah.
Folks, listen, you can see the latest action figures and other toys from Shocker on the company's website, which is www.shockertoys.com. It's not a fancy spelling. It's S-H-O-C-K-E-R-T-O-Y-S, solid, shockertoys.com. And you can also order the company's products at mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. And, Jeff, thanks so much for joining us on Mr. Media today. It was a fun topic.
Thank you. I was glad to be on board and talk a little bit about toys and, you know, tell what's coming up for the Christmas season, holiday.
Well, we appreciate it. And good luck this coming year.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Take care, Bob.
All right. And folks, for interviews with your favorite comic book creators, you can surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with Joe Sinnott, Gene Colan, Dave Gibbons, Danny Fingeroth, Dennis Kitchen, Tony Isabella, Trina Robbins, Tom Snegowski, Drew Friedman, Chuck Dixon, Denny O'Neill, and many more. And please think about writing an online review of Mr. Media, casting a vote for Mr. Media, or marking Mr. Media as one of your favorites. Whether you listen on Blog Talk Radio, blogcritics.org, TrueSlant, Pointer Online, Digital Journal, Vox, MediaFly, Podfeed.net, Blueberry, Zencast, Zimbio, Current, or Odeo. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. Or subscribe to Mr. Media's blog on the Amazon Kindle Reader. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. That's A-N-D-E-L-M-A-N. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/Andelman or www.facebook.com/Andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give up a little piece of your day and spend it with us. Thanks for listening, everybody.